The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running. How are you feeling today, Chew?
I feel wonderful.
Wonderful.
I'm close. I
need a vacation.
Aren't you going on vacation?
Yeah, but it's I'm trying not to check out.
Senioritis.
A little bit. About a half a cup.
Great.
How was your trip? I don't think I've ever been to Oklahoma.
Checked it off the old list.
Okay.
I had never been either. First time.
How many states have you been to?
Okay, I'm glad you asked.
Yes.
I looked yesterday as I was sitting on a plane that was not moving at O'Hare. More on that later. And I started looking at my list. The only states I have not been to are Delaware, Hawaii, which, by the way, we're going to take a family trip to Hawaii at some point. But the girls are little now. We're going to wait till they get a little older. It makes more sense. Maine, which is crazy because I lived in Connecticut for 4 years.
You think
I would have made my way up to Maine, but I never did. New Mexico.
Okay.
And Wyoming.
I've been to all of those. Well, I think a tough one for a lot of people is New England.
New England is not a
Vermont,
state.
Okay. New Hampshire. Well, we consider it a state.
Yes.
Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, Rhode Island are probably tough ones.
Yeah. I've been to all
and
of
having
those,
been
except
in
for Maine.
I could go from Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, Rhode Island, and probably 5 hours.
Yeah?
I could hit them all.
But you're starting on the, I assume...
I would start in Connecticut.
East side of Connecticut.
Yes.
To kick over to Massachusetts.
There. Just clip Vermont.
Exactly. You don't have to even go to Boston.
No.
You just kind of into Massachusetts and then head north.
Yes.
Yes. We had a wedding in Vermont 2 years ago. So we did, and we've been... When we were there, I hit New Hampshire. I hit Massachusetts, obviously, but never hit Delaware, which is random. So I need to hit Delaware at some point. The problem is I cover college football. Not a lot of reason to go to Delaware.
You're not going to Bangor to cover University of Maine?
Exactly. Not a lot of reason to go to Maine. Not a lot of reason to go to Delaware. If you tell me I should go to New Mexico, I will, but...
Idaho's another tough one.
I've been there. I actually kicked up to Idaho when I covered Utah State because Logan is only about like 20 minutes from the border.
Okay.
New Mexico gets a bad rap. I liked the cities there. I thought they were fun.
It's a pit.
I'm just
telling you, Albuquerque is Albuquerque.
I thought it had a lot of character.
Yeah, it's got a lot of stuff. Yes.
Albuquerque always makes me think of Bugs Bunny. Doesn't Bugs Bunny famously talk about Albuquerque in one of his a couple of his shows?
You go right to Breaking Bad.
Oh.
Right?
I didn't do that.
No. You didn't? Santa Fe is
cool
beautiful, but it ends about there.
Okay.
Taos is nice, I guess.
But
it's okay.
It's like you're trying to convince yourself, but then you're like, no!
Yes.
You're trying, and it's like, absolutely not. But again, college football being... the vehicle for my travels, I feel like it makes sense why I haven't been to these places. Wyoming, maybe when Josh Allen was playing, maybe you get out there. I know Gino, my former colleague and coworker, did a story on Josh Allen when he was at Wyoming. But other than that, we're not doing a lot of pieces on Wyoming.
How about the Dakotas?
I've been to South and North Dakota.
Well, I have not.
You remember my father passed away in South Dakota.
Yeah,
spent a lot of time in that stupid state.
Yeah.
Bleep those guys. Sorry. Anyway, so I'm
Alaska?
Glad you asked. I've been. We went on an Alaskan cruise.
Come on.
Wait, what states have you not been to?
Alaska.
Uh-huh.
Alaska. Both the Dakotas.
Mm-hmm. Montana. Have you been to Montana?
I've been to Montana.
Okay.
I think that's it.
Really?
Yeah. Oregon. Haven't been to Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last year alone, I went to Oregon.
Yeah, you were
four times.
A frequent flyer.
That was crazy going to Oregon. So let me get into this then, since we're talking about travels. I went to Oklahoma yesterday. I never know, guys, when I fly into O'Hare, if I should fly on the connecting flight to Milwaukee or if I should leave the airport, get in a car, and drive. Now, my company expenses my travel, so that's not an option here, right? It's not a factor here. So get to O'Hare yesterday, land at 5:30. My flight's at 6:20, so you got plenty of time. It actually happened to be the gate next door, so I was like, oh, I can mosey around a little bit, get a few steps in. Well, got on the plane, 6:25, sat on the runway / tarmac for 45 minutes. And Chu, my only complaint about this is, I got many, but the one that I want to focus on is, just tell us why we're sitting. That's all. I just need the information, man.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore. I don't know why, because didn't they pass that law if you sit for X amount, the airlines have to refund you? No one wants to admit they're wrong anymore.
Do you think that's what it is?
Yes, totally.
This is the accountability thing we've been
talking
about.
Kids, nothing. They're never wrong. They always have excuses.
Feels like you got a story.
Adults. No story. It's just the way it is now. No one wants, and companies don't want to admit they're wrong because then there's liability. Mm-hmm. That's why they don't do it. So screw them. My rule of thumb is always drive to Chicago.
I know.
Because, look. You were going to fly to Milwaukee?
Yeah.
By the time you have to deal with all the crap, go to the next gate, fly, sit on the plane, leave the... You're talking maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not that much.
So again, theoretically speaking, if I got off the plane at 5:30 and made my way to baggage claim... I didn't have any bags, but that's where you have to pick up a ride share. That's where you pick up a car, right? Maybe that takes me 15 minutes at O'Hare, depending on where you are. It's a big airport. You know, you can have to walk a little bit. Maybe I get there at 5:45. Then it's an hour door-to-door from O'Hare to General Mitchell. An hour. So I'm showing up at General Mitchell at 6:45. Then I got a 30-minute ride home up to Mequon. So I'm walking in the door at 7:15. 7:15, my kids are still up. They're about to go to bed at 7:30, but they're still awake. I see my kids. How was your day? Da-da-da, cherries and pits, whatnot. And then I can spend the rest of the evening watching the baseball game, getting ready for the next day, unpacking my bags, stuff like that. In this case, I get on the plane at 6:25. We sit on the thing for 45 minutes. Now it's a quick flight, right? What is it, 20, 25,
up
30
and down.
To go to Milwaukee?
Yeah.
But I didn't get home until 8:30.
I know. I had the issue last week going to St. Louis. Because I would rather, if it's a wash, if it's the same amount for air travel as opposed to driving, I would rather drive. There's too many factors. Weather, plane. Because we left our buddy's house at 9 o'clock. To get to the airport to fly home. And by the time we were in our door, it was 2. Driving would have been the exact same.
Yeah.
Would you rather drive?
I would, yes.
So would I.
And again, it goes back to, I'm sitting on this tiny plane. Because, you know, they don't take a big old boat to go from Chicago to Milwaukee. Tiny plane. I'm sitting in the extra row because hopefully there's a little more space, but there's not. And I start to get a little panicky, start to get a little anxiety, starting to feel like, why are we sitting? I should have taken the Uber. I should have taken my friends over at Accutrans. And the gentleman next to me sees that I'm starting to panic a little bit. And he starts to talk to me, which I was like, whew, great. Let's talk about anything other than the situation we are currently in. So we're chit-chatting. And, you know, he is from Louisville, Kentucky, and he is going to Milwaukee to do some business. And he says, what do you do? I say, I work at ESPN. I was just in Oklahoma doing a feature story. And he ends up saying, he says, what else do you do? I said, well, I'm on Around the Horn today. You can catch me on Around the Horn this afternoon. And he says, really? I say, yeah. He says, my niece works on Around the Horn.
Huh. Small world.
I said, what?
Yes.
He says, yeah, do you know Caroline? I said, Caroline the researcher. Of course I know Caroline. I got to run all my information through her to make sure it's accurate before I say it on television. He says, well, that's my niece. I say, well, it's very nice to meet you, Caroline's
small
uncle.
Small world.
Very small world. And it actually got me through a very, what would have been a very tough flight. Drive or fly from Chicago to Milwaukee. Cost is no option. You can do either one. I feel like most people are choosing to take the car.
I am.
Joshy, what about you?
I've had... very similar situation take place to you. I had trying to leave Austin. This was about 2 years ago. It was about a 24-hour travel time for me between delayed flights, canceled flights, reflights, and then getting to Chicago finally.
And you're so close.
Which I was never supposed to be in the first place. I was always supposed to be going to Milwaukee, but the diversion caused a stop that wasn't planned. I, especially at O'Hare, if you have one of those far runways, it's 20-30 minutes just to taxi. You're just sitting there as the plane like moseys its way out to where it needs to take off. I got to the point where they were at the runway about to take off, and then they said, oh, we have a mechanical issue, which glad they caught it then. It felt a little concerning that they didn't realize it until we were about to take off, but then you taxi back, delays. I waited for a flight that would be 20 minutes, like close to 3.5 hours.
Yeah, that's...
And at that point, I was like, I mean, I didn't want to have to pay because it already had become expensive doing all the trip.
Yep.
But at that point, like getting on a bus from O'Hare to General Mitchell would have been better.
Yes.
An Uber, if it's not the high time, if it's like, you know, sort of middle of the day and someone agrees to it, would have also been cheaper.
I am not at the decree yet. We have a family decree, never fly Spirit Air. We just decided years ago, we had a bad experience. We just said right then and there, you know, from here forth, we never fly Spirit Air. I'm not at the decree point yet of never get on a plane from Chicago to Milwaukee, but I'm close.
Yeah.
I am close.
That's not that long a drive.
It's an hour. Well, again, I'm going to General Mitchell because that's where my car is, because that's where I dropped it off yesterday morning. So all told yesterday, guys, I traveled from, I left my house at 5, flew out at 6:15. I got to my house at 8:15. I was in Oklahoma City / Norman for 2 hours. Two hours.
Do they have a shuttle that runs from O'Hare to General Mitchell? Because it feels like if they did, I would skip it 100% of the time.
That's a great question. I don't think there is. Not any formal one that I've been made aware of. But again, we're not at the, you know, bang the gavel quite yet. But we are getting close to not flying anymore from Chicago to Milwaukee. We got a lot of stuff to get to this morning. Lots of folks weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Jerry in Kewaskum says, 2 years ago, I had to go to Albuquerque every other week for a couple of days for nearly 6 months. It's a bleep hole.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Ryan from Iguanago says, doesn't Jen drive faster than a plane anyway?
Half. How about half?
Half a cup.
Half as fast.
And he also reminds me that, yes, it was Bugs Bunny who comes out of his hole and says, I must have made a wrong turn at Albuquerque, which is probably the most flattering thing anyone says about Albuquerque.
I just looked it up here. Coach runs buses from O'Hare to General Mitchell. You can do it for $36, and they run pretty much every hour.
Oh, that's great to know.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah. $36.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
I will gladly throw away that last piece of my ticket and jump on that bus.
So here's the thing. That bus is going to give you more space than the plane they put me on to get from Chicago to Milwaukee. And it was full.
Oh, yeah.
Full flight. And then, of course, you've got anarchy because the people in row, you know, 17.
Trying to get
stand
out.
Up as soon as you land. They're trying to push their way to the front of the plane. I'm like, first time? First time on a plane? Welcome. Happy to have you. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of stuff to get to this week, including how close is Jordan Love to being back out on the field? We've got Adam Schefter coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll ask him if there's any news on that. How much can the Packers move the ball if Malik Willis is the guy under center? We'll get into that. And we've got Sophia Minner to talk about those Milwaukee Brewers whose magic number is down 2-1. That's next.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj, who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of right tackle.
I have a question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj?
Like, I was thinking, okay.
Who's Raj? You tell us, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
End your summer on a high note with Great Midwest Bank. Turn your financial dreams into a reality. With Great Midwest Bank, your financial future is as bright as your summer days. Their personalized banking solutions are designed to help you reach your goals effortlessly. Join the community of satisfied customers who trust Great Midwest Bank, including me and my family, for all of their banking needs. Visit greatmidwestbank.com to see what products Great Midwest Bank has for you. Throw the enzymes, float you out so you let go. We're going to ask Adam Schefter what he's hearing about Jordan Love and when he might be back on the field, if the timetable has shifted at all. But Chu, it seems like the general thought is that Malik Willis will be the guy this week when they take on the Titans. I know you guys talked about the familiarity there between the quarterback and the team and the opponent. Do you think that'll play a role this week? They will know, theoretically, more about Malik Willis, maybe even than the Packers will, since he was there for an extended period of time. You think that plays a role in the way they game plan for Green Bay?
Oh, yeah. And I think it'll be hostile, too, just because it's so fresh. I mean, even though he barely played in Tennessee, he still was a draft pick there that's been traded to a pretty good team. So my guess is it's going to be a pretty hostile environment. And they're going to know what he cannot do. And I said yesterday, they're not rushing for 261. I didn't realize, because I don't watch a lot of Tennessee Titans football, but Josh, he said their D-line's pretty solid.
Yes, Jeffrey Simmons is one of the best defensive tackles.
So if they have to overload the box for whatever reason, they're going to do that. And they're going to know if Willis can't throw outside, can't move around in the pocket and throw, can't sit in the pocket and throw. They know this guy. So, yes, they have, I would say, a pretty sizable advantage. He's not going to be able to go 25 miles an hour this game. He's going to have to go 40. He's going to have to throw it, my guess, 25 to 30 times.
So when you talk about what the defense gives you, right, you always hear guys talk about, like, sometimes you got to play to what the defense gives you.
Mm-hmm.
What will the defense give him? Will they give him the downfield shots because they don't think he can make them consistently and accurately?
Yeah, they're going to force him to throw mid-level throws, like Brett back in the day, you know? Every team knew Brett. If you baited him enough, he's going to throw it. He's going to throw it. Tampa 2 in 93, 94, he's throwing picks. And defensively, they just went into games and said, just be patient. He's going to give us opportunities to pick him off. Just be patient. Now, through years and years with Holmgren got it into his head. Like, the Tampa 2, you can't go over the top with it. You have to be patient. Check down. Death by a thousand cuts. That's how you have to win.
And that's how it seems Malik Willis will have to win.
Will have
to win.
What
we have seen from him. Hilariously, when you said he will throw it to us, I immediately thought of Jay Cutler and Charles Woodson, right? Back in the day when he said, same old Jay.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That was a great line by
Chuck. He's going to have to throw intermediate routes.
The other thing I think they can exploit more than they even did is Malik Willis using his legs. He reached the fastest ball carrier speed of any quarterback.
Really?
Last week, yes. So I think he had like 30 or 40 rushing yards. If you can bump that up to get him closer to 7,500, more of those designed draws and kind of rollouts where he just keeps it, I think that's another way to replace some, because you're certainly going to not rush for as many.
But what they're going to do,
go ahead, Chu.
But what they're going to do is, my guess is what I would, I haven't studied the guy enough to know, but I would keep him in the pocket. I would keep him in the pocket. Rush lanes, very disciplined. Don't let him get outside. Maybe spy him. Spy him if you're already up there with a run defender anticipating run and it's a pass, then he becomes the spy. He's going to have, we'll see what, my guess is they're going to play man-to-man. That's what I would do. Because man-to-man's a lot tighter than zone, right? And if he's not a very accurate passer, we're going to see what happens.
My only concern with getting him outside of the pocket, to Josh's point, is if he goes down, if he gets hurt, what do you got? It's Clifford, right? Clifford is the backup QB.
We had Jason on yesterday, and he didn't really think this was an option, but do you keep Jordan Love in the bullpen and break glass in case of emergency?
Well, I guess it depends on if he's designated as out or not for the game, right, Joshy? Like, if they put him on the injury report and have him as out.
From what I'm hearing, he's not playing.
Yeah, I don't think they would do that because in the situation where they have to pull the ripcord in case of emergency, if Jordan Love wasn't good enough to start, he's probably not good enough, likely with a
which
lead.
Which is stupid, which is the dumbest thing ever, because I played sometimes when I was 85%, and the only reason I played because I was 85%, and I'm not disparaging, I wouldn't even say the names, but I thought I was better at 85% than my backup was.
Sure.
You think Jordan Love at 90% is better than Malik Willis?
Yes.
Well, then what the hell wouldn't you put him in the bullpen?
Well,
now,
if he doesn't want to go out there.
That's the point. It's a different game. It's a different game. And in talking to Jason yesterday, there's no like, or it's nowhere near what it was back in the day when I played, when I sat there and I'm like, I can't leave my guys hanging. I'm sorry. I'm 90. I can't do it. I can't. Now they don't care. Now it's just like.
Is it that they don't care or they have more information? They're more
probably more, but still, I was talking with Jason after the show and I'm like, I couldn't play sports like that. I couldn't, where it was all about me and all I cared about, the paycheck. Back then, the money was great, was nice, but Sundays were awesome. And I would have to be really hurt in order to stay off the field.
It sounds to me like you're buying the sentiment, the theory, the information that was coming out of Green Bay last week that Jordan was closer, and Rob Domofsky said it on our program on Monday, that Jordan was closer to go than no. Right? The Packers thought, that's what Rob Domofsky told us, that he was going to be able to play or that he was close to being able to play. Ultimately did not, obviously, last week. It sounds like you think that might be the case as well.
I think there's outside influences that are saying, pump the brakes. And I can tell you this, all right? The only way you get cleared is if it's, say, a 2-4. I'm not sure what the timeline was, Josh. They determined it was 3-6 or 2-4.
Yeah, it was.
The only way you're getting cleared before that too is to say, I can go, I'm fine, I'm good, look it, I can do everything. That's the only way. McKenzie's not going to clear you if you're like, well, you know, when I do this, it kind of hurts a little bit. And thus he's not clearing you,
right? He's conservative.
Yes, and he has to be, you know.
I think it's, I mean, for better or for worse, you would say for worse, Chewy, based on what you've said. It's much more of protecting an investment thing, and that's yourself and your health. And I don't think that was simply a factor for you guys. Now, a lot of it is the explosion of money, simply.
Sure.
But now it's like you're thought of as you're making investments. It's like much more of a transactional thing than it was, I love football, I love my teammates, and I love winning. And that I think we can all bemoan that. But I just think that is now the reality of the modern NFL.
And I think if agents are influencing whether or not a player goes out on the field or not, it's because they have seen too much. They have seen guys, clients, maybe clients of other agents who have been, I love football, I love my team, put me back out on the field, yeah. It doesn't matter. And then there have been dire consequences.
Sure. But back to, you know, the money not meeting as much. Jordan, your contract is 100 and what, 50 million guaranteed? How much more do you need? You get $150 million. That's why I couldn't do it. I mean, most guys from my era would be like, I got 150 in the bank. I'll play all day long. What the hell do I care? I mean, they just want more and more and more. And the agent has a vested interest. You know, because if Jordan doesn't play after this deal, the agent doesn't make any money. I just couldn't do it. I'm sorry. I couldn't. If I was guaranteed $150 million, I'm playing every damn game that I could walk in. And I think guys from my era would do the same. Now, is that stupid? Probably.
I just don't know if Jordan Love has done anything during his time in Green Bay to not be given the benefit of the doubt. Right?
Sure.
Like, if you're Jordan Love, I think he has been a good soldier at every turn. He has done everything that has been asked of him. He waited patiently. There was no drama. Maybe one time where he said, hey, if we're not starting, we want to move on. But beyond that, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt until he's back out there on the field, that the knee is bothering him and that he doesn't think he could get the job done given his current situation.
Would you have to let him get to 100% in order for him to play?
Close.
I mean, would you be ticked if you were LaFleur?
Maybe.
Who has a vested interest as well?
Of course. But also, LaFleur, you just showed us last week you can do it. You have a little confidence that you can do it again, that you can tweak the game plan, that you can do things a little bit differently, that you can anticipate the defense, you know, watching that film and approaching it a different way.
I mean, I can see that side of it because you got your win, right? We got the win that a lot of people thought they were going to lose.
And you said they needed.
That they needed.
During the stretch that Jordan is out.
So, but I mean, I don't know.
Gives them a little, is there more pressure or less pressure now? I think less. You just said it. You got the win.
Yes.
If the goal was, hey, just stay even.
Yeah, if he doesn't play this week and they're 1-2, they're fine. They're fine. You know what? Even at 0-3, I still think they're fine. not ideal, but I still think they can dig themselves out of that.
Maybe we put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Is there more or less pressure on Matt LaFleur this week after they got the win last week? Maybe we don't say after they got the win, but just this week versus last week. 800-990-3776. We got to take a break. We have Adam Schefter coming up. Let's see what Adam has to say about the Jordan Love situation and what he anticipates happening in Green Bay this week when they take on the Titans. I mentioned my travel woes. You never have travel woes when you use Accutrans. They are a veteran-owned business dedicated to providing unmatched corporate, personal, and event-related transportation that you will use again and again. From travel to weddings to group events, Accutrans caters to every occasion. Booking is safe, easy, and dependable. You just visit their website, AccutransGroup.com, to get a quote and book a reservation today. Look, guys, should I have called my friends at Accutrans to give me a ride from O'Hare back to Milwaukee yesterday so I didn't have to sit on the tarmac for 45 minutes? I should have. And next time, I will. And you can too. AccutransGroup.com for reliable and safe transportation. Adam Schefter next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
Each side gets wins, right? They have Jordan Love under contract for the next 5 years. Let's get this deal in the books. Let's get it done the way we want, structure it. If you're Jordan Love, you bank me all that guaranteed money. You're set. You're set for life. So, again, I think both sides win.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. Also sponsored by Island Resort and Casino.
Always great to catch up with Adam Schefter. Good morning, Adam. How are you doing on this fine Wednesday?
Hello there, Jen and Chewy. What's going on?
Grinding it out, Adam.
Chewy's got vacation.
As usual, Chewy. As usual. I expect nothing less.
He's got vacation looming, Adam, and I don't know about you, but when it's hanging around, like at the end of the work week, he's starting to get a little senioritis.
Well, hold on. So the vacation is next week. Is that correct, Chewy? I will not be with you next week.
Yeah.
Okay. And where are we going on vacation?
We're going to Greece on a little cruise. But Adam, it's just like, it's a Wednesday. We got pads. It's 90 out. It's just not fun. Let's just get to Sunday.
Yeah. Well, hold on. My first question is, you can take vacation in football season?
He can really do whatever he wants.
Well, IR would be nice. You could put me on IR.
And who are you going with on this cruise? Like a large group of people?
A couple Florida friends. Obviously, the wife. It'd be fun. Yeah. You know, I've never been to Greece. Have you been to Greece?
No, I've never been.
Okay. I love Greek food.
Oh, I think you'll have a great time. Like, where does the cruise go out of?
Athens. And I have no idea where we're going. 8 islands. I heard the islands are beautiful, though.
You're flying from wherever you are to Athens and then getting on a boat?
No, we're going to Istanbul. Have you been to Istanbul? Anyone been to Istanbul?
No, but I have read about Istanbul. Yeah, that too. Here's my question. You're a big guy. How big are you now, Chewy? 6'3"?
6'6", still. Well, probably 6'5".
No one's going to mess with you. But honestly, having heard about stuff like in Turkey, like with Americans and everything like that, like do we consider that to be dangerous in any sort of way? Or you're so big that the rules don't apply to you?
That I don't know. You're making me nervous, though.
You're really an ignorant traveler, aren't you?
I am.
Basically, he's going to throw some shorts in a bag and he's going to get
exactly.
out of plane.
And if I don't, my theory is, Adam, if I don't have it, then you just buy it there.
What? Hold on. Didn't I hear something recently? I'm going to do a Google search as we go through this interview. But didn't I hear Americans? I'm not making this up. Americans shouldn't be traveling to Turkey.
Oh gosh.
This is not the information he thought we would be getting from Adam Schefter this morning. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay, hold on. August 19th, 2024. We advise exercise a high degree of caution in Turkey due to the threat of terrorism. I'm just like,
I guess I'm staying.
Okay. Here it is.
This took a wild turn, folks.
The U.S. State Department currently recommends U.S. citizens exercise increased caution when traveling to Turkey due to terrorism and arbitrary detentions. Chewy, do not bring any chewables with you. Don't bring any chewies with you, Chewy, okay?
We've already had that discussion. Yes.
Okay. Don't bring any chewies with you.
I told my wife to Google Brittany Griner.
Hey, wow. way to bring it back to sports, big guy.
Yeah, I know.
By the way, before we move on to sport, did I diminish your excitement at all for your trip?
Yeah, no. I just soiled myself. Yes, you did. I don't want to go now.
Well, I've done my job today. Thanks for having me today, and we'll talk to you next week, Jake.
When we talk about news and information from Adam Schefter, that ain't it. That's not what we were expecting.
Holmgren would always say, don't play scared. I'm scared.
International travel advisories.
I'm now the source on international travel advisories. I never would have thought that.
Exactly. Adam, we do want to talk about Jordan Love. Are you hearing anything different from his camp or anywhere else about the timeline for when he might return?
You know, it'll be interesting today to see how they treat it, right? Like, I'm going to guess that they list him as limited in practice. That's going to be my early guess, okay? And my guess is he'll be limited this week. They'll list him as questionable, and he won't play. Now, again, the week hasn't happened, so maybe he's feeling much better, and maybe they feel like they're comfortable trotting him out there. I think in the end, I think, as I've been told all along, and again, he could have had dramatic healing over the weekend. I don't know that. He could be feeling a lot better this week. I don't know that. But initially, I was told from the jump, 3 to 4 weeks. I was told initially that the games that were most likely for him to come back were either the Vikings in week 4 or the Rams in week 5. So again, I continue to believe that that will be the case until it's not. And that's what we'll be tracking. But I think that they'll keep it alive this week. I think they'll foster some hope he can go. And my guess, and I want to be very clear, my guess is that he won't play on Sunday and that he'll be back either the following week or the week after.
Adam, how much do agents influence their clients when it comes to play or not to play?
Yeah, I don't think as much as you think. I think they have a voice, and I think that they weigh in. But ultimately, players play. Again, here's what I would do. I would say to you, Chewy, you played a long time. Did your agents have a voice and advise you on certain times in your career when to play or when not to play?
Never.
Let me ask you that.
Never. If I wasn't in a contract year, Adam, and I was under a 3-year deal, during the season in a non-contract year, maybe talk to my agent once a year.
Yep.
Not very much.
Okay. But I think everybody's different, right?
Sure.
And it depends on your contractual situation, your injury history, the kind of guy you are or are not. So I think it's always different. That's great that you weren't that way. And I don't think Jordan Love's agent is getting on the phone with him and saying, don't play this weekend. I think, obviously, the decision belongs to Jordan Love and the Packers' medical staff. Do I think at some point in time that Jordan Love will speak to his agent? Probably. Do I think the agent will say, be smart and careful? Yes. Do I think Jordan Love's going to do what he wants? Absolutely.
Well, let's transition right to this. What's going to happen with Tua?
Well, in that case, the agent is one of many voices. You know, I was with Teddy Bruschi over the weekend, and I said this to a couple of our people, and I really believe this to be true. Teddy is such a great guy, so unique, so thoughtful. And when he was talking about Tua over the weekend and the angles at which he was viewing that situation, he was talking about the fact that how he had a stroke. And there are all these people telling him what to do. And his wife was saying, you're not playing anymore. And his brother saying, Teddy, you're a football player. This is what you've always done. You got to get back out there. And there were medical people saying one thing and family members saying another. And doctors, as he pointed out on the show, said, you know, doctors, he said, with doctors, you operate in the gray. There's no black and white ever. They don't ever say, okay,
yeah,
you need to retire or you need to keep playing. It's safe. They say, here's the deal. You know, you've got this steel box in your heart, and it, you know, you can continue on, but you have to be careful. And if there's a hit the right way, it could be catastrophic, but the chances, and ultimately the decision belongs to you. Like, you think about anybody's experiences with a doctor. It's always, it never seems black or white. There's always more information. It's never clear. Teddy was going on and on about this, and it made me realize that Teddy has become our show's version of Tom Jackson, who was incredible on air, incredible off the air. Mm-hmm. They played the same position. And I think that's kind of the role that Teddy has evolved into. And I don't recall Teddy saying to me, and I knew Teddy's agent at the time, a guy by the name of Brad Blank.
I don't think Teddy's.
Yep. Boston guy,
yeah,
right?
Sure, yep.
I don't think that Brad weighed in. I don't think Tua's guy, you know, will demand or order one thing or another. He may say, hey, Tua, I feel this way or I feel that way. But there are voices that are more meaningful and matter more. Doctors, wife, parents, and they will have their own opinions that Tua will factor in. Now, again, going into these meetings with neurologists prior to him being placed on the injured reserve list, sidelining him for a minimum of 4 games, my strong belief is he wants to keep playing. That's what he's wanted to do. Now, whether he actually does that, we'll see. He's got time to sift through this, have conversations with all these people to figure out what's best for him. But yes, he absolutely, in my mind, would like to keep playing, and we'll see how they handle the situation.
How much of a say does the team actually have in that, Adam? And this is one of those weird, nebulous areas. It is not like breaking your throwing hand or something like that, where you can say, you cannot do the job, therefore we can step in and say, we need to go in a different direction. The concussion thing is a little tougher to nail down. Can the team say, and again, I know they did because they put him on IR yesterday, but long term, I'm talking about, can they say, unfortunately, we no longer believe you can do the job that we have hired you to do? Is there anything in there where the team has some sort of recourse?
Well, look, I think it's distasteful to talk about it immediately. I think now that he's on IR, now that he's visited with neurologists, now that a little time has gone by, I think that you can bring it back to money, okay? And there's a lot of money involved in this particular case. If doctors say to Tua, we can't clear you, and he decides to retire, he collects all his money. If doctors say you're cleared to play, you're okay to go out there, and he decides to retire, he forfeits his money. Right? So there are, and we're not talking about, you know, an insignificant amount of money. The remaining balance is something like $126 million. So let's obviously be aware that in some small way that I would think that that has to be factored in. Ultimately, his health is by far going away the most important thing. But money usually is a part of people's decisions in life, right?
Yeah.
So I think the team will follow the line, rightfully, that we want you to do what you believe is best for you, and we're here to support you in whatever way we can, whatever that is. And let's see what he decides.
Adam, give me a couple of your biggest surprises, 2-0 or 0-2 in the league so far.
Well, I think we just look at all the 2-0s and 0-2s, and I think that those are the ones that I'm just looking at right now, right? The Ravens, 0-2. The Bengals, 0-2. The Vikings, 2-0. The Saints, 2-0. The Rams, 0-2. The Buccaneers, 2-0. The Steelers, 2-0. The Chargers, 2-0. The Texans, 2-0. We'd expect the Jaguars, 0-2. The Colts, 0-2. Titans, 0-2. Panthers, 0-2. We'd expect that. So, you know, some teams in there, the Saints.
That's the big one, Adam. I can't believe in the way they've won and the way they pounded Dallas. Are they for real?
Well, here's what's going on there in my mind. They made a move this offseason that when they did it, I knew that they would be better. They hired Clint Kubiak, another disciple of the Shanahan tree. Just like Matt LaFleur, just like Sean McVay, just like Kyle Shanahan. Clint Kubiak, who I remember as a little boy at Broncos training camp. His father, Gary, was the offensive coordinator Broncos for the very first NFL team that I ever covered. Gary was such a pro, went on to become the head coach of the Houston Texans. Clint was his son. He went on to coach in San Francisco under Kyle, and they hired him. And I thought to myself, okay, that's going to be a great hire. And already they've been incredible early on. Like, you look at that offense and what they've done, and it's incredible. Through two games, they have totaled 91 points compared to the 36 that they scored all last season. They are the only team since the 1970 merger, other than the 2009 Saints team that won a Super Bowl, to score at least 90-plus points in their first two games of the season. That Saints team back in 2009 scored 93. This one's 91. And, you know, he's turned Derek Carr into an early season MVP for whatever that's worth. So Clint Kubiak's going to get a lot of credit, just like Bobby Slowick last year, another former 49ers assistant, another Shanahan tree disciple, went on to become the Texans offensive coordinator. And what did the Texans offense do last year? And I know they had CJ Stroud, but I believe Bobby Slowick was instrumental in all that as well.
Last thing for you, Adam, is there any market for, I almost said Kyler Murray. Good grief, Jen.
Bryce Young.
Thank you. Obviously, that situation is, he's just got benched and you're going to see Andy Dalton out there. Is there any market for him? You know, some of these teams that might be looking for a quarterback, could you see him being traded? He's a depressed asset right now, but is there any talk of that around the league?
Yeah, I think that there will be interest from teams, but I don't believe that Carolina is going to be interested in trading him right now. Like, again, you're going to trade him for draft picks, right? A draft pick or draft picks. And the truth of the matter is that pick or picks will be for the 25 draft. So you can trade Bryce Young after the season and get the same draft pick haul and have him be there in the event that they need to turn to him again, in the event that somehow he shows signs of a turnaround, which nobody expects. I don't think that's practically realistic. I agree, but you never know. And they can get those picks later on. Now, if some team is desperate enough and feels like Bryce Young, who's been awful the first two games and the first 18 games of his career, is an answer, and they're willing to overpay, do I think Carolina would be interested? Sure, absolutely. Do I think there's going to be a team that overpays in season? No, which means that I think Carolina winds up holding on to him, and I think we revisit that very scenario after the season. And ultimately, I think he does get traded, but just not in season.
All right, Adam, good stuff from you this morning. We appreciate you, and we will talk to you again very soon.
Chewy, let me say this. If you do get detained in Turkey, I really enjoyed our time together. I enjoyed working with you and getting to know you. It's been a great pleasure and honor of mine. And, you know, if it doesn't work out there and you don't make it back, you know, you're detained there, our thoughts are with you. I just want you to know that.
Adam, okay? Adam, I will haunt you. I will haunt you the rest of your life.
The list of people that you will haunt.
He's number one.
Say, it's getting longer.
Here's the thing, Jen. I'm just telling you right now. Chewie's getting on that plane. He's going to be thinking of me.
Oh, of course I am.
All right, Keith Urban.
Right?
Have a good one, Adam. We'll talk to you again soon.
Safe travels, Chewy.
Thank you.
That's your favorite song, Chew. That one where he says, take your cat and leave my sweater. You'll think of me. I know you love that one. Joshy, who brings us Adam Schefter each and every week here on Jed, Gabe, and Chewy?
The Island Resort and Casino is a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense.
Why
this elite defense.
Kool-Aid?
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid. And we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Sophia Minard hanging out with us in the next hour to talk about your Milwaukee Brewers, who have the opportunity to clinch today even before they play. Joshy, am I right on that, that the Cubs play this afternoon, and if the Cubs lose again, they lost last night to the A's, Brewers lock up the division, which we know is just a formality at this point.
That is correct, Jen. The Brewers' magic number is 1. And today at 1:20 p.m., the Chicago Cubs will face the Oakland Athletics. If the Cubs do lose that game, the Brewers will have clinched before first pitch today.
I mean, it's nice, but do people really care?
Yes.
They do.
Yes.
Like when we won our division, I mean, it was big the first time. I think 93 was the first year, but after that, it was just like, yeah, great.
It's whatever. A checkpoint. You know when you were playing Mario Kart?
Not really.
Grand Theft Auto? Sure. I don't know. I'm trying to think of other racing games. What do we always say? Racing USA or Driving USA or
racing
whatever it
USA,
was?
That's more true.
You got to hit the checkpoint before you can hit the finish line.
Yeah.
Winning the division for the Brewers is a checkpoint. So, you know, you celebrate, and I think they're going to pop champagne. I don't know how it works today with if it happens before the game. They're certainly not popping bubbly before the game.
I also think, like, Chewy, your checkpoints were different. Yours was like, did we get a 10-win season, or was it like a winning record? Winning the division for you guys became like a formality.
Yeah, it was just like done deal.
It has become in recent history a formality for the Brewers with how successful they've been, but your expectations were always Super Bowl. That isn't always the same for the Brewers, so I do think it is important. It does feel like it's lost a little bit of its luster after.
Well, it should. That's a good thing, though.
Yes, because
that's a very good thing.
I stopped looking, even caring about the division after it was like, hey, a bye's in play.
Yes.
The best team in the National League is in play. Now, that's kind of faded, but it doesn't make the division like more important to me, because I've thought that for pretty much since like the first 2 months of the season, this is a playoff team no matter what happens, mostly through the rest of the season.
Still 4 games back of the Phillies in the win and loss column. Of course, we're trying to chase down the Phillies, who they are currently playing. A missed opportunity last night, of course, obviously. You want to get hot, right? Like, I'm looking at the rundown for Around the Horn today, and they want to talk about the Orioles and how the Orioles are kind of clunking their way to the finish line here. You know, we're in a very good position, and how, you know, now they're not. And you're glad that the Brewers are not that team. But I also think that, like, once you capture the division, it's going to be up to Pat Murphy and company to maintain that level of focus, right? Because to Chewy's point about senioritis, man, he's got vacation looming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Brewers have been working towards being a playoff team all season long. That may happen officially today, but you still have to finish the series with the Phillies. And you still have some important series here that it feels like they need to make sure that they can still lock in and, you know, turn in a very good performance down the stretch.
That Mets, the final series is going to be huge, I think, against the Mets, because the Mets are right in it, too.
I think you want to see, and the Brewers aren't winning at the clip they were maybe like 2 months ago, but you want to see them roll off a few games in a row here and kind of like show what we saw earlier in the season. Because, I mean, they've been about a 500 baseball team the past week, which is good enough to get you in the playoffs right now, but you want to start reeling off some big ones. And
still have the best run differential, don't they?
Yes.
In the league?
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's something to hang your hat on. We have to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So much more to come in the second hour. Stick around.